Taylor and Chad. I'm Chad. This is Taylor. No, I'm kidding. It's the other way around. We just like to confuse people. But anyway, we're going to lead some worship songs for y'all this morning. Just relax and love on God. Let God love on you. And let him take you somewhere that he's never taken you before, okay?
Holy, holy. to see.
Let's sing it one more time.
Oh, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see.
Y'all give Jesus a hand this morning. Everybody happy? Everybody feeling good?
Promise will endure, and His joy is gonna be mine.
singing this morning. That's the easy part. And we say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Amen. I bet they can do better than that. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, amen. This side over here ain't singing. Then we say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, amen. I'm going to give y'all one more chance, okay? Then we say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes,
amen.
Lord.
As loud
yes,
as you can.
Yes, Lord, amen.
Coffee's starting to kick in now.
Y'all give Jesus a hand.
You guys can have a seat. Be sure and greet everybody around you. Make them welcome here at Cornerstone this morning. So it's awesome, isn't it, to have Taylor and Chad with us leading worship. And as I mentioned earlier, for all of you that were here on time, they're from King, North Carolina. Sorry about that. They're from King, North Carolina. I'm just making sure everybody knows, and they're with us this morning. Man, just great two guys. They're here with us. We are going to do something special for them at the very end of the service as you leave. We're going to be taking up a love offering to support their ministry, so just let you know about that ahead of time so you can be praying about it, thinking about it. They're also, I think you guys are going to be playing in concert over at Squealers. At barbecue, live music at the barbecue this afternoon. What time do y'all know? 1 to 3. Okay, so you want to catch up with them some more. They'll be over there this afternoon, so we're glad to have them with us. When you came in, you got a worship guide, lots of announcements on here today. Let me hit a couple. One is we're not having youth tonight. The second thing is I really want to thank everybody that helped with praising in the park this year. We had a great two first nights. The third night, the weather did not cooperate with us. The Phelps Park was like a swimming pool. So we had to cancel, but you know, the time we did have with the kids was awesome. I'm looking forward to following up with a lot of these kids. So, I think we had, for those of you who don't know, it's our community-wide Bible school we have down in Phelps Park. We had, I think, 180 kids on, Monday night. So, great time of fellowship and fun and teaching. And, we had another youth group come up and help us with that from, down below Charlotte. They did a great job too. So just I want to thank you guys for all the time and energy and effort and the love that you showed the kids down Phelps Park. It really it meant a lot to them. Couple more things. We do have a baby shower today after the second service. The information is in here. We had like a little mini baby boom here in the church. And I think last time it's like 7 women have either just had a baby or are having one, or you know, hopefully very soon. So this is a baby shower for them all combined, and you can read the details on this. They're doing some neat stuff here. We've also got our baptism service coming up at Camp Dickinson out on the river, August 12th, and some information about how to receive emails. We're also doing something special for the kids in our community, and I'm going to get Hannah to come up and share a little bit about that. She's got all the info for you, so here you go.
Abby wanted me to give the announcement. It's in the bulletin, but for those of you who get turned off by big paragraphs and don't even read the rest of it, I'll explain. We're having an event called the Cornerstone Closet Back to School Bash. And we basically are just trying to get together a lot of kids' clothes and school supplies and free haircuts for the kids in the community that maybe they can't afford it and their parents, you know, can't really get that for them. So we need lots of clothes. So go through your closet and clean out some clothes. We have a drop-off spot downstairs, so you can bring it any time of the week. We need people to give haircuts. So if you can cut hair, and you're available on August 11th, we greatly appreciate that. We also need, if you just want to donate money, we will gladly take that and go buy some school supplies. I know Abby already bought 72 book bags, and so she'd like to be reimbursed for that. If you don't have any clothes and you don't have any money, we still need your help. We need help, like, organizing the clothes and getting them on hangers and help on the actual day, like, talking to the people, maybe trying to witness to them. So there's plenty you can do. If you have any questions, contact me or Abby.
Awesome. What's really great about this, too, it's been organized, planned by some of our college students, which ties in perfectly with what I'll be talking about today. So you'll get to hear a little bit more about that. So great opportunity to reach out, touch the community right here, right around us. So excited about that. Next week, we're starting a new series here at Cornerstone. What happens when life gets tough? And we're going to be going through the book. I know this is a book you all have been wanting to study for a long time. It's the Old Testament book of Habakkuk. I know y'all are just blown away by that. But let me show you a little preview clip about what we're going to be talking about the next 3 weeks, and then we'll continue on in worship.
Anybody ever been to Squealers? Yeah. Is it good? Okay, good. That's the only reason we came up here. No, I'm just kidding. It's not. No, me and Taylor were just talking about it. Y'all should be really, really thankful that y'all have a church that reaches out and does outreach. We've been in a lot of churches, and there are, unfortunately, are a lot of churches nowadays who just, you know, think it's just them. Think it's just their congregation in the world, and they go out and do things, but really that's what it's all about, is reaching out to the community. Get people to come here. You go out there and reach them. So y'all should be really thankful. I just thought I'd say that, because y'all really impressed us here, especially with your cafe.
Step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart for you. Hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship.
Feeling good? You can talk to me, it's okay. Everybody feeling good? This is a song that Chad and myself wrote. It's a worship song. It's called Just the Way You Are. So y'all learn it with us this morning and help us sing it.
the way you are. Just the way you are.
Jesus another hand. I'm going to turn it back over to Pastor Mike.
We are the next generation, the youth of today, and the leaders of tomorrow. Our faith is strong. Our potential is limitless. And if you give us a cause to fight for, we will change the world.
Did you enjoy that time of worship? Wasn't it great? This morning, we're continuing this series, I Love My Church. This last week, 10 weeks into this, week by week, we've been unveiling to you for most of you, the first time, what we would consider to be our core values as a church. And as I mentioned, this is not a sermon series we just came up with. This is one of those series that has really been 8 years in the making. 8 years since we had our very first service for Cornerstone. 8 years of us meeting and trying to figure out why God has placed us right here in this community. And we've talked about all these different subjects of truth and the grace, celebration, authenticity, transformation. Well, lots of words. Generosity, commitment, teamwork, focus. This morning we come to this one called opportunity. And just simply, we believe in the next generation. If you look at this picture, it's a picture of a T-shirt that our youth group wore on a mission trip last year. And wherever we went, we just wore these shirts. It just said servant. And it was pretty cool to see them out working and truly being servants and understanding that's what God has called us to be in this world we live in, to be a servant. And I just want you to know this morning that we truly believe in the next generation. If you have your Bibles with you today, let's open up to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. We'll be sharing a little bit from the book of Mark about what it means to believe in somebody. And if you just stop and think about it, around the world, millions and millions of Christians are gathering together this morning around the world to give glory, to praise, to worship Jesus. And it all started when a father believed in his son. Let's look at Mark 1, verses 9 through 11. It says, "In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn apart and the Spirit descending on him like a dove." And just if you stop there and think about that, I mean, imagine the scene that Jesus comes up. He allows John to baptize him. The heavens are torn open. The Spirit descends on him like a dove. I mean, this is like a scene out of a sci-fi movie, right? I mean, this would get your attention in a hurry. And then verse 11, you hear this booming voice come from heaven. "You are my beloved son, and with you I am well pleased." And right there, what we see is we see God the Father affirming God the Son publicly. We're seeing God the Father say, "I believe in you," publicly. And here's what I want you to think about. He didn't say, "Hey, Jesus, he made a really nice, desk. He's a carpenter. He made this really nice." No, and I want to praise him for that. He didn't say, "No, he made an A in school, so I'm going to praise him for that." He didn't say Jesus was a really good basketball player. That's kind of, well, you know what I mean here. What did he praise him for? He praised him for a spiritual act of obedience. He praised him for a spirit, and he said, "I believe in you. With you, I am well pleased." And what I just want to say this morning is I believe the Spirit of God today is going to affirm many of you in the same way. And what I want to say as a church to our young people here today is that we believe in you. We believe in you. We don't think that this, our church, and that what we do here on Sunday mornings and what we do throughout the week, we don't think that it's a babysitting service or just something to keep you busy. It's one of my pet peeves, and I hear people say this all the time, and I know they mean well. But what they say is, "Oh, we just need to give our teenagers something to do. We just need to keep them busy so they'll stay out of trouble." Have you ever heard that? You heard that? I don't like it. You know why? Because they can do so much more than that. It's not about just keeping them busy so they stay out of trouble. It's about giving them a cause to live for, giving them a mission, giving them responsibility, giving them an opportunity to change the world. And here's what I want you to know. When we give our young people an opportunity to change the world, they will grab hold of it and do it. This generation is pretty incredible. When we stop and look at it, and if you continue reading on in Mark, and you see how after this, Jesus immediately after that, he was tempted. He went through a period of when Satan was trying to tempt him and pull him away, and he stood firm. We see after that that he grabbed 12 guys around him, 12 disciples, and he poured his life into them. He set the example. He mentored them. He lived his life in such a way they could look at him and follow after him. And that's what our young people need so desperately today. They need to be able to look at us and see an example that they can follow. And in fact, there's a great verse over in the New Testament in 1 Corinthians when Paul talks to the Corinthian church. And it's a simple verse, but it, you know, if you look at it, it just says in 1 Corinthians 11, 1, it says, "And you should imitate me just as I imitate Christ." You know what our young people need? They need a good example to follow. They need to look at our lives and see something there. They need to see the wisdom in our lives. They need to see the experience. They need to see the right choices. They need to see people who are on fire for God, who are living their lives devoted to following Christ. And when they see that, we can say, "You can imitate me as I imitate Christ. We're in this thing together. We're on the same pathway, but I'm a little bit farther down the path than you are." And I'm afraid that's where we've messed up with this current generation. We say, "Here's what you need to know. Now go and do it," instead of "Follow me as I serve." We give them lots of information, but we don't give them a chance to imitate our lives. And what I want to share with you this morning, and I think the reason I would say this is important to me, is I look back on my life and I see people who were God placed in my life at the right time and the right place. People who believed in me, people who gave me an opportunity, people who gave me a chance. And I firmly believe I would not be standing here today if those people hadn't crossed my path. Let me tell you a little bit about my story. But some of you know it, but, you know, at the age of 22, Jennifer and I moved back to Galax. And I'd grown up here. I'd lived in Winston for a year. We moved back up here for a job. And it was like the first week we were back up here in Galax. We went to the church we'd gone to in high school. And the youth pastor had stepped down. And it was like it just everything started falling into place. And they said, "Hey, Mike and Jennifer, would you guys be interested in leading our youth ministry?" And, you know, the first thought is, wait a minute here. You know how old I am? I was 22. And I was like, "Seriously, you want me, you know, to be a youth leader?" And they're like, "Yeah, you know." And I didn't just accept it right off the top because I'm like, "Wait a minute, if I do this, I've got, you know, I'm going to be committed to it. I want to not just make it a pizza and games type youth ministry. I really want to pour my life into it." So we thought, prayed about it, we did that. And for the next 9 years, I served as part-time youth leader, director, pastor, you know, youth people, you don't have a title. You just, the person that has to do everything, right? You know, and so I did that for 9 years. But here's the thing. Somebody believed in me enough to say, "Yeah, you can do that." And I didn't even believe in myself. I didn't even believe it myself that time that I could do that. We would go on mission trips. We'd take our youth group. And I'm still amazed that the parents trusted us to take kids places. If they only knew some of the stuff we did and got into. One of the houses we stayed in, we had to stay up all night long because we had a huge water fight, like super soakers. And we had to like mop and we had buckets we were getting water out of the house with. I mean, and yet the parents trusted us. We would show up places and they'd look at everybody and say, "Okay, great to have you guys. Where are your leaders at?" And I'm like, and they're like, "Seriously?" They look at us and, you know, we got that all the time. But somebody believed in me. And then when God kind of just pulled the rug out from under me, so to speak, and said, "Okay, I want you to step down," and I didn't really understand why. And long story short, I ended up here at Cornerstone and started to get to know some of you guys. And one thing led to another after a year or two. And you guys asked me to be a pastor here when I was only 33 years old. There's not many churches that would trust a 33-year-old to be a pastor. There's not many churches that would give a 33-year-old an opportunity to stand in front and share and lead and teach and preach week after week. But you guys believed in me. Maybe even when I didn't believe in myself. the way I should have. And what I've seen is, and throughout my own life, is time after time, people have believed in me. And what that did, that gave me an opportunity, that gave me a chance, that gave me time to develop my talents, my skills, and my gifts, and my abilities. It blows me away. And here I am now. I'll be 39 in a couple of weeks, and I feel like I'm pushing 40 here, and all of a sudden I'm feeling, and some of y'all are like, I know. But it does, it makes you feel a little old sometimes. When you start seeing, when I've got a daughter that's going in high school, and I mean, all these life changes that are happening right now, and here's what really makes me feel old though. I see all these college students and youth, that are coming up that are an entire generation removed from where I am. Let me just be honest. If you're my age or older, you're not cool anymore, okay? I don't care if you wear skinny jeans or color your hair. You're not cool, so don't act like it. We're out of it. There's a whole nother generation coming up behind us, and we have to realize that. And the choice we have to make as a church, and the choice I want to talk to you about today, is are we going to give them a chance? Are we going to give them an opportunity? Are we going to give them a seat at the table of this church? My hope and my prayer is that we would just give them chance after chance to develop their skills and their gifts and their abilities and just to serve Christ passionately with our whole heart. I'm really speaking this morning, to what I would call the millennial generation. And if you study generations, I'm like dead center in the Gen X group, but the millennial generation is those born like after 1980. That's kind of who my message is geared towards today. If you are here and you're older than that, then I don't want you to tune out because I think it's important for you to understand this generation. I think it's important for you to mentor this generation. I think it's important for you not to give up on this generation. And what I want to do this morning is I want to show you what I would say maybe are three, and I'm going to do this backwards. I'm going to give you three temptations that this generation faces, and then I want to tell you what their greatest strength is as a group. I know there's always exceptions to the rule, but I want to share some of their great temptations that this generation has because of the world that they've grown up in, and then I want to tell you their greatest strength. The first temptation that they struggle with, is this generation, your generation, is very tempted to feel entitled. And maybe as a parent, you would say, I've seen this or I understand this. Maybe this is something you've struggled with a little bit. I would just say the reason this generation feels entitled is because we as parents and adults have made them that way. We want to give them everything that we didn't have. And that's why you see 12-year-olds that say, I can't believe you won't give me the new iPhone. I want my cell phone. I can't believe I don't have this and everybody else has it. I mean, it started when it was like 10 years old. All your friends are like, all my friends have cell phones. I'm like, great for them. I'm happy for them. That's awesome. and you feel like a terrible parent. Well, everybody, I guess I need to do that for my child too. And I gave in. She's got a cell phone now. It's the world we live in. We've made them that way. They feel entitled. You just see all this, they've never lost at anything. They get rewards and trophies for everything they do because we don't want to damage their self-esteem. And we've created this generation that feels like, they're entitled to everything. It made me think of the grumpy old man on Saturday Night Live. And some of y'all that are my age remember Dana Carvey. Back in my day, you remember? And we liked it that way. We grew up. Yeah, some of y'all are totally lost. That's all right. Just YouTube, you'll be fine. But you know, you think, I mean, and already we're I'm turning into like my parents. I'm saying, you don't know what it was like when we were growing up. We didn't have the internet. We didn't have cell phones. You know, we even played with lead paint toys, and we don't have brain damage. I mean, that's the world we grew up into. We didn't have bike helmets. I mean, we rode backwards in wood-paneled station wagons and didn't have seat belts. I mean, that's the world we grew up in. It was very different than the world they're growing up into today, where you've got parents, oh no, just like hovering right over top of them all the time. You know, you can't let your kid outside because you're afraid somebody's going to snatch him up. My parents didn't know where I was half the summer. As long as I showed up for dinner, I was good. We would go out. I spent a lot of time over here in this ball field playing and at back in the woods and in creeks and chasing snakes. And I mean, that's just what, I mean, it was different, right? And see, I'm already sounding like an old man. Back in my day, and we liked it that way. But the kids today, and again, we kind of created a generation that feels entitled. I just want you to know that it is typical across the generation. It's a temptation, but you can overcome it. You can overcome it. And I'll share how here in a minute. The second temptation I want to share about this generation is you're tempted to define truth as you see it. I talked about this a lot when we talked about our message on truth. This generation has grown up in a day and an age where they're bombarded with this idea of tolerance, a kind of a distorted view of tolerance that says it doesn't really matter what's right or what's wrong. It matters what is how sincere, how passionate you feel about it. So just because it's wrong for you doesn't mean it's wrong for me. And that's what the world that this generation has grown up in. And they've kind of abandoned this idea of there is truth that we can all know for sure. And that truth is found not just in a book, but in a person, Jesus Christ. And he said, I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life. Jesus is the truth. And so this generation is tempted to kind of reject truth. And the third thing that is kind of a temptation for this generation is this generation is tempted to postpone adulthood, to postpone adulthood a little bit. Dr. Tim Elmore wrote a book called The IY Generation. I love reading books. Tom Rainier's written one called The Millennials. Tim Elmore wrote this one called The IY Generation, which is the one that's kind of coming up even behind the millennials. But his research, this was kind of an interesting question he asked. He asked all these young adults, when do you become an adult? Interesting questions. Previous generations would say, you know, when I'm old enough to drive or when I graduate, when I'm old enough to vote, or when I'm old enough to buy a beer, or when I graduate from college, or they would have, you know what, when the current generation, their their highest response is when I have my first child. It's what this generation said. That's when I feel like an adult. And here's the thing, people are getting married later, they're having kids later. So we've got a generation full of kids that are young adults that are in their 20s that are saying, I'm not an adult yet. I don't feel, you know, I'm in an adult body, but I still feel like a kid. And so they're postponing adulthood a little bit. And here's the reality is, real life doesn't start later for you if you're a teenager or you're a young adult, if you're in your 20s or even in your 30s. It doesn't start one day when I'm married or when I have a kid. Real responsibility, real opportunity doesn't start later. It starts now. It starts right where you are. And that leads me into what I feel like is this generation's greatest strength. This generation's greatest strength, and I've been amazed at the teenagers and college students and young adults we have here at Cornerstone. And here's why. Is your generation, you are the most, this is the greatest, the next slide here, I was going to read it. You are the most cause-driven, mission-minded generation in modern history. I'm amazed sometimes when I step back and look at our young people here. You heard Hannah get up and talk about this opportunity we're doing to gather clothes and do something for the people here in our community. Our college students are just looking at us and saying, y'all keep talking about it. Somebody's got to do it. We'll do it. We'll organize it. We'll make it happen. And, you know, I'm kind of the voice of reason. Do we have enough time to get everything together? Should we wait a week? No. And they're like, no, we're going to do it here. God's going to take care of it. We're going to do it. And I mean, they're just like taking the ball and running. I'm saying, here's your opportunity. Great. I love it. We got a young man here in our congregation. He started a nonprofit to educate people around the world about sustainable agriculture. He's taken two groups of people to Nicaragua training. He's done research with Virginia Tech and doing on a model farm there in Nicaragua. And he's still in college. Austin LaRue is who I'm talking about. And he's organized two of our mission trips to Nicaragua. And he's still in college. And he's got, and it's a full 501c3 nonprofit organization. And he's done all that. I mean, I don't know about you, but when I was in college, I wasn't thinking about changing the world. And when I look at this generation, they don't only look at the world and say, we can make a difference. They're out there doing it. Hey, if you give them a mission, if you give them a cause, if you give them something to live for, they are all in. They're amazed. On mission trips, you can take a group of teenagers. They'll do stuff that adults would just look at you like you're stupid if you ask them to do. Teenagers, you say, I need you to go over here. I need you to pick up trash. I need you to talk to this person. I need you to do this. I need you to do it. And they're okay. They're like, okay, we'll do it. And I know parents, you're saying, well, why don't they do that at home? I don't have that down yet. This is outward, outside, okay? But what I've seen time and time again is that they truly believe they can make a difference. And we see an entire generation that is cause-driven, that's mission-minded, more so than any in history. And what we see in the New Testament is Paul, he understood the importance of giving the next generation an opportunity. You see that time and time again. Paul, he took a young Timothy, a young pastor, under his wing. And most people think Timothy was still a teenager at the time this was written. And he's giving them encouragement like, you know, you're not controlled by a spirit of fear, you know, but you've got one of power and of love and a sound mind. And he's telling them all this encouragement. And we get over to 1 Timothy 4, verse 12. And this is what he says to young Timothy. Don't let anyone think less of you because you are young. Don't let people look down on you. Don't use your age as an excuse for inactivity. But he goes on, but be an example. But be an example to all believers in what you say and in the way you live, in your love, your faith, and your purity. Be an example. Even though you're young, you can set the example. Don't let anyone look down on you. And I've said this before. I've said, you know, I hear all the time, our young people, we need to treat them right because they are the church of tomorrow. You heard that? It's a lie. They're the church of today. What we say when we say we're the church of tomorrow, we're saying you're just here biding your time right now, and we don't really have anything for you to do. You know, we want you to stay over here, not be heard, not be seen, not do anything. Just keep your mouth quiet. And then when you get old enough, maybe we'll give you an opportunity. What I want to see and what amazes me is, and what I love about this church, is throughout the church, we see young people serving. Whether it's in the praise team. Throughout the years, we've had a number of teenagers play in our praise team. You know, I think in my own family, I mean, my daughter's downstairs helping teach the children on a week-to-week basis. She's down there teaching. She's 13, and she's teaching our children. I see my son. He was up there playing guitar and leading worship at Praising in the Park. He's 12. There's not many churches that believe in young people enough to give them opportunities like that. And again, I see mission trips, and I see all our work we've done in Nicaragua, and I see time and time again this church has been a church that says, we believe in the next generation. And I love it. That's part of who we are. Because we're saying, you're not the church of tomorrow. You're the church of today. And I just want to give you some encouragement if you're here and you're young this morning, to let you know that we believe in you. You can make a difference for God's kingdom here in this world today. You can make an incredible difference. And you can be a witness to your own parents. I don't even, you know, and so many times I've seen parents and families reach through their children. The children are the ones saying, we need to be in church. I want to be in church. I want to be active. And they're pulling their parents, and they get their parents here, and the parents find Christ through the witnessing of their children. I've seen that time and time again through the years. You know, I believe 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10, it says, you're a chosen generation. You're a chosen people. You're a royal priest, the holy nation, God's very own possession. And as a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you had no identity as a people, now you are God's people. Once you received no mercy, now you have received God's mercy. And don't you dare put off serving God and say, one day I'll serve God. One day when I'm a little bit older, I'll start doing stuff for God. One day. Because what happens when we start saying that is we miss out on so many opportunities. Our young people today, you're in the greatest mission field you've ever been in if you're in school. Incredible mission field. People are open to talking about Jesus. You have an incredible opportunity there. Don't take that lightly. Don't take that lightly. We live in a community. There's so many ways you can serve. And I see teenagers too. They'll say, well, I messed up. Or 20 people in their 20s will say, but I messed up. You don't know what I've done. And I've kind of lost. I just got to get my own life straightened out. Well, here's what I want to tell you. If you're saying I messed up and I don't need to serve, you just need to go to Jesus, ask forgiveness, let him cleanse you from all unrighteousness, as 1 John 1:9 says, repent of your sins, turn and just keep going and forget about it. Forget about your past. Put it behind you. That's a great thing about God. He's the God of second chances. You know, that's what grace is all about, right? If you go to him and you say, I've messed up, I've sinned, please forgive me. Guess what? Jesus died on the cross. His death pays the penalty for your sin. He took the punishment that you deserve. And through his blood, you can be cleansed. And you can keep going and serving him. Don't make excuses. Don't make excuses. If you're, if you're here this morning and you're 40 or 50 or 60 or 70 or 100, and you're here, and I hope you hear what I'm saying to these young people, and I hope what you say is, I want to be there to mentor them. I want to be there to encourage them. I want to be a spiritual parent to them. Look at what it says in 1 Thessalonians. This is, again, Paul saying, he says, you know that we treated each of you as a father treats his own children. We pleaded with you, we encouraged you, and we urged you to live your lives in a way that God would consider worthy. For he called you to share in his kingdom and his glory. That's what we're called to do. We're called to encourage and to plead and to urge our young people to follow Christ. And I just want to ask you, how are you investing in the next generation? Are you spending time with them? Are you talking to them? Are you encouraging them in their faith? And I'm not talking about sitting down and lecturing them. I think most of us are pretty good at that. You know, we get a group, you know, we like lecturing people and telling everybody how they should. But do you actually get to know them? Do you actually mentor them? I love that. I mean, that concept of just sitting down with them and finding out what's going on in their life. And if you're a parent, you absolutely must be doing that with your children. But even if you don't have kids, you can do that with the young people here in our church. And are we giving them opportunities to serve? I recently saw a statistic that said the average age of a church attender in this country is 50 years old. Average age. And it's increasing year after year. That's scary. Because even though this generation is the most cause-driven, mission-minded generation in history, what they're seeing is there's not a place for them in the church today. Most churches are built around the preferences and styles and of people who are above 50 years old. And even if you're here this morning, I just want to explain, we do some different things with music. I mean, and sometimes you may say, I don't really like the music style. But we are reaching out to this next generation and saying, you have a place here at this church. You're welcome here. You're welcome here. Well, we want you here. And again, I see church after church complain, we want young people and they just won't come to church anymore. Well, they won't come to church if you treat them like they're senior citizens. Give them an opportunity to serve God with in their style and their way. You know, that's why we do stuff with technology. And you've heard me say before, you know, you can follow along with your sermons on your phone or your iPad. You can just follow along, and people have their phones out. And some, and I know that bothers some people. They've got their phone out during church. Well, this generation is a little different. They can be looking up verses and researching and putting things on Twitter and Facebook. I had a little Twitter thing pop up last week while I was preaching. One of the college students was putting stuff on Twitter, and it popped up me a notification like while I was preaching. I thought, that's pretty cool. They're talking about church. They're Twittering in church. That's cool. I don't have a problem with that. Because they're engaged. This is an interactive generation. They're following along. I want to encourage you to keep giving them opportunities. You know, this morning, I hope that you've just kind of, I've just scratched the surface. And, man, I could talk about this a long time. As you can tell, I talk fast when I'm a little passionate about stuff. But sometimes we just got to step back and realize here, are we going to be a church that is open to God using young people? You look throughout Scripture, you see example after example of young people being used in a mighty way for God. You look throughout church history, you see church revival after church revival being started by young people. And I'm excited about this generation we have here at this church. And I want to do something a little bit differently as we close out the service. So if you would you all bow your heads this morning? Dear Heavenly Father, first and foremost, we just want to thank you this morning for being able to come into this place to worship you, to lift up our praises to you. And we want to thank you, Lord, for this being a church here at Cornerstone that is open to young people serving and giving their life for you. Lord, I pray that first and foremost that every person sitting right here in this room, as they examine their own life, that they would say, I've given my life to you. I've surrendered my life to you. I want to follow after you. I trust you. Your word tells us, Lord, that when we confess our sins, when we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, that we will be saved. And Lord, I know that when we come to you and we acknowledge our own sinfulness, when we acknowledge what you did on the cross, that Jesus Christ died on the cross to take our punishment, to take our shame, to take our guilt, to be the substitute for us. Lord, when we acknowledge that, when we realize that, when we come to the place in our life of surrender and say, Lord, we trust you. I'm tired of doing life my way. I want to do life your way. Lord, I know that you will come into our life. You will transform us. You will change us, and you will save us. And right now, if there's anybody here in this place, Lord, I just want to give them the opportunity just to give their life to you, just to simply say, God, forgive me for my sin. I know I've fallen short in so many ways. I know I've messed up. I know I've been stubborn. But Lord, today I'm giving you my life. Lord, I trust in you completely. Lord, thank you for dying on the cross for my sin. Give me the strength to follow after you. Lord, come into my life. Come into my heart. Save me. If that's your prayer, I want you to know that God heard it this morning. That God will change your life. And it doesn't matter if you're 10 years old or you're 100 years old. This morning could be the first day of your new life in Christ. And Lord, we celebrate with anybody here this morning that would acknowledge you as their Lord and Savior. But I want to do something else this morning, Lord. As everybody's heads are bowed, their eyes are closed, I want to just say, if there are young people here, and whether it's teenagers, children, 20-year-olds, even 30-year-olds, if there are young adults here in this room this morning, they say, I want to be used by you. I don't want to be ashamed of my age. I don't want to let anybody look down on me because of my age, but I want to be that example to this world I live in. If that's you, you're here this morning, I'm going to urge you to do something a little strange this morning. I just want you to stand up where you are. Stand up. If you're a young person, you say, I want to be used by you this morning. I just want to, God, just use me. God, I'm trusting you to do something incredible in my life. I don't want to be ashamed. I don't want to hold back anybody this morning. You would say that. Anybody. Lord, we thank you for these young men and women that have stood up. And what I want to ask the rest of our church to do right now is just as Paul laid hands on Timothy, I just want our older people in this church just to gather around our young people here in this church. It's not too late to stand up. Just to gather around them, Lord, and to pray with them as we close out our service this morning. Just to pray that you will use them, you will touch their lives, you will empower them to make a difference here in this world. The laying on of hands, Lord, is a symbolic way of us showing them that we are commissioning, we are sending them, we are trusting them, we are praying for them. And just right now, throughout the room, if you want to pray for one of these young people, would you just stand up? Would you pray for them? You just pray over them, pray for them. Just place your hand on them, and I'll just let you do that this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these young people, for their obedience here this morning. We thank you that they are willing to make a difference in this world we live in. Lord, I pray for each and every teenager, each and every 20-year-old, each and every person in this room, Lord, that you would empower them, you would give them the courage, you would give them the boldness. Lord, we know that they have the exact same Holy Spirit living inside of them that we have. They have the exact same Holy Spirit inside of them that the disciples have. The same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead lives inside of them. And this morning, we just want to lift them up. Lord, we thank you for this morning. Encourage us as older men and women in this church to set the example for them, to mentor, to encourage, to urge them to live godly lives for you. And we'll give you the praise, the honor. We'll give you the glory. We'll lift up the name of Jesus as we go. For all of God's people said, amen. Would you all stand as we close out in worship this morning? Would you all stand with me? Let's just sing our hearts out to Jesus.
worship.